Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. Now, today, we're going to be continuing on our series in Matthew, dealing with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And the title for this morning's message from that Sermon on the Mount is called, The Works of God in Us. Now, so without any further delay, here is Pastor Reynolds.
The Works of God in Us. Matthew 5, verse 13 through verse 16 states this, Jesus Christ, as he was on the Sermon on the Mount, preached these words, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Then he says in verse number 14, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then in verse number 16, he finalizes by stating, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We've entitled this message, The Works of God in Us. Notice, please, in verse number 13, Jesus Christ says, Ye are the salt of the earth. Who is Jesus Christ speaking to? We refer again to Matthew 5 and verse number 1, where the Bible says that Jesus saw the multitude, and then Jesus went into a mountain, and when he was set, His disciples came unto him. Notice very carefully here that there is a difference between the multitude and the disciples. Jesus saw the multitudes, that's true. But the disciples were the ones that came to him. The disciple means that the followers of Jesus Christ came to him. And then Jesus said unto them, Ye are the salt of the earth. In verse 14, Jesus Christ said to the disciples, not to the multitude, but Jesus said to the disciples, Ye are the light of the world. It is a great desire of the people of God for others to see the greatness of God. Yet, we are continually hindered in this endeavor by our sinful actions, by our wicked minds, and by Satan, who hinders us in many circumstances of our life. This is absolutely the truth. We need to remember, however, that we are the salt of the earth. We need to remember that we are the light of the world. We need to remember what Jesus Christ said in verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is our prayer that God will use us to reveal His majesty to a lost and dying world. It is our constant prayer that God will open eyes that others may be able to see the greatness, the kindness, and the majestic splendor of our God. God has heard our prayer. God has saved our soul when we were unworthy to be saved because others pointed us unto Jesus Christ. And we need to point others to Jesus Christ, not to ourselves, but we need to point others unto Christ, who is the only one that can save them because He's the only one that could ever save us. It is our prayer that we not hinder any of the works of God. Our past and our minds cannot conceive of the work of God. Although we try to figure it out, we cannot even conceive of the greatness and the splendor and the minute details that God's work involves. But we want to be used in a good way to reveal God's greatness to others. Some very honest people sincerely believe that speaking in tongues, which nobody can understand, or performing miracles or other miraculous occurrences are what we need today to reveal God's mighty works to others, but that's not what we need in this Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ never mentions any miraculous event. He never talks about speaking in tongues. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ never mentions a miracle one time. He continually mentions, however, how God needs people to live so that others will see Christ in them. This is the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount, is that we might see the greatness of God and point Him out to others. It is so good to see the work of God. It is so good to see the things that He is doing. It'll make a difference in our lives. Turn back with me to the book of Exodus 34 and verse number 10, where God says, "Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." Notice that God is telling the nation of Israel that He is the one that makes the covenant, that it is before thy people He's going to do many miracles and wonders and signs, such as not been done in all the earth. And why does He do that? Listen, the reason that He does that is not so that people will see people, but God does that people around Him will be able to see the work of the Lord. "For it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." And the word terrible here doesn't mean an awful thing. It means a feared thing or a reverent thing. Therefore, the terrible things God does will be things nobody else could possibly do. Things which will make all of His children see that He is the most powerful that there is. The terrible things God will do is revealed the next verse in Exodus 34, verse number 11. "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I will drive out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." Notice here in this place that God said, "I will drive out." He did not say that Israel would drive out these foreign nations. The power is in God and in God alone. Why will God do all that? Because people need to understand that God is God, and He can do things that we never even thought about doing. There's no way that a man could figure it out. There's no way that a man can see it until it happens. And then God is the one that has done it. Notice that God said He would do all of these things. There were things Israel should do, but one of the most important things they should do is to recognize that their enemies are driven out by the power of God, not the power of the Israelites. Think of that. Some will indicate these are not so great things, but each of these nations, these seven nations that are mentioned in this place, are greater and mightier than the nation of Israel. Think of this. It is the most horrible thing not to see the works of God. In the book of Job 23, Job wanted to see the power of God, but he could not. You'll notice that in Job 39, verse number 9, Job says, "On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him." It is remarkable that Job wants to speak to God. And all the suffering and everything that he's going through, Job desires the power of God. Job wants to see the things that God is doing yet. When he is given the opportunity at the latter part of the book of Job, he has nothing at all to say. That's the way God is. Because of his strength, because of his greatness, because of the things that he is, God, when he does his works, we will sit back and say, wow, and that's all we can say. We cannot do anything but say, there is God. He is the one. Praise his own holy name. You see, our place in all of this is to continue to let the world see our good works, and they will glorify the Lord. Not that we're going to be glorified at all. Rather, that they would glorify the Lord. There might be some that will mock. There are some that will scorn. There are some that reject us. And that's okay. Because they're not really rejecting us. They're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Our place is to continually let the world see our good works. In John 7, verse 3, his brother therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Understand here in this place, in John 7, verse number 3, that the brothers of Jesus Christ at first rejected him. Don't be surprised if the things that you do, that the people that you care about the most reject it. Don't be surprised at that at all. But you need to do what God wants you to do. Keep on faithfully serving God. God will either use you to reveal his truth to them or use you as a judge against them. In John 6 and verse number 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? These believers in John 6, verse number 30, did not believe Jesus is the Christ, even though they saw his good works. So don't be surprised if unbelievers do not believe Jesus is the Christ, even though you have good works. Unbelievers not responding favorably to your proper showing your good works does not mean you are a failure. Jesus Christ was not a failure. And his own brothers at first did not even believe that he was the Messiah. Just be faithful unto God. Notice the works of God in us. Ye are the salt of the earth. Matthew 5, verse 13. In verse number 14, the Bible said, ye are the light of the world. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? If the answer to that is yes, then ask yourself this question. Is my life an example for Jesus Christ? Or am I like that salt? It lost its effectiveness. You know, we should strive to make sure that our lives point back to Christ and that people, when they see us, they see that there's something different, that we've been redeemed and that Jesus Christ has made a difference in us. And we need to strive to make sure that our works don't become something that are just good for nothing but to be cast out in the street and trampled on. In order to do that, it takes a daily walk with God. It takes daily prayer with him. It takes daily Bible study. And it takes that daily renewing of your mind. And each and every day, you need to dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you'd like to share this message with someone, be sure and log on to our website at independencebaptist.org. and check out the audio section. We'd also like to invite you for services. We'll be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. And of course, our building is at 124 South Main Street in Forest Hill, Missouri. Well, as we close this morning, we want to once again thank you for listening and encourage you to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.